Down at the cross where my Savior died. Hymn number 2. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where from clay.
Somebody that does, and to be able to recognize somebody that has that hardened heart. You know, these things are never, when you start dealing with the heart, it's never easy. Amen. You gotta really, you're doing this, it is personal, that's right. You're doing that, that inspection there. And God is dealing with you. It's never easy, amen. But it's always profitable. It's always profitable. We always need it. Mark chapter 10, in verse number 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Now let's pray. Father, I pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We need you like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I understand Jesus is dealing with divorce here, but he's dealing also with the condition of the heart. Understand something, and this is just a side note, and I might say it again, but it's not always the person that's the one that's left or whatever. That person doesn't have the hard heart, okay? Sometimes people think in divorce that it's a person that leaves or whatever, or the person that, you know, is left, the victim of it, so to speak, in some cases, they're the hard-hearted ones. No, that's not always the case. It's usually the other way around. But, you know, every situation must be taken individually. I'm not preaching on that today. I'm just simply saying that's what he was saying. But there is a Bible truth that undeniably that a man's heart can be hard. They can get a hard heart. And we have to be careful. We have to be cautious about that. Because it's so easy for your heart to be hardened when you ignore some things from the Word of God. When you ignore some things in your Christian life, and even lost people, we're going to talk about that. There's a few different types of a hard heart that the Bible goes into and explains. And number one, the first thing we'll get to, the first hardness of the heart, is the hardness of the natural man's heart. The lost man. He naturally has a hard heart. It's just part of a sin nature. All right? Adam in the garden chose to go his own way. He chose the way of his life instead of following God. And it cost him. Cost him dearly. Disobeying God will always cost you. Amen. Understand that. If you disobey God, it will always cost you something. You don't, even as a saved child of God, you will never skate through this life in disobedience to God and there not be a price for it. In some commands of God in the scriptures, in whatever command that may be that you're disobeying, there will be a reaping that takes place from that. What you sow, I gotta move this, it doesn't drive me nuts here. What you sow will reap. In disobedience. If you sow disobedience to God, you will reap it. A sure sign of a hard heart is not to listen to sound biblical instruction or commands when they are given. I have seen people where commands from the scriptures are given and sound doctrine has been applied to that and sound biblical instruction. And they've ignored it. I've watched men do that. I've watched them come in here and I've watched them leave. And they've been warned by that. They've been warned to follow it. They've been given clear Bible instruction and they ignored it to their own demise. They end up losing everything. Their marriages, their liberty. Some have went to jail, prison. Why? Hardness. Just ignoring straight biblical instruction. Sound biblical instruction. God warns us in this in many verses in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 5. Turn there, please. Verse But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Speaking of the natural man here that hardens his heart when he hears the truth. When you're preaching the gospel out on the streets and you see that, you see it. You see it in the lives of people that walk by and they harden their heart to the truth. They harden it. What does he say is happening to them? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Hardness. What do the lost do? What does it say here? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? He's talking about the Jews who thought because they had the oracles of God that they could disobey God and they could be a rotten, wicked sinner and they didn't have to turn to God and they could do whatever they wanted to do. So he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Amen, Brother Paul. That's a sermon out on the street right there. Knowest thou not that it's the goodness of God that we come to you this day, that we bring you the truth, that we tell you it's because it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance? It's the goodness of God that sends a preacher there that way to preach to you the truth? It's the goodness of God. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Oh, it's sad when you see it. But you see sinners out there and they treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. The wrath of God is upon them. Like that mean-spirited, bad preacher Jonathan Edwards preached, and sinners in the hands of an angry God, that mean guy. I know. He was one of the men that God used greater than any man during that time period. And he preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But God loves everybody. Puppy dogs and rainbows. You know, you keep preaching that to people and you keep telling people that. But you know what the Apostle Paul said here? But he said, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath, against the day of wrath. It's your hard heart. That Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, preached that message. Boy, you'd have thought he was mean. Oh, he must just want to make sinners mad. He must, Brother Paul, he must be trying to be a self-made martyr. That must be why he goes out and preaches like that. Yeah, that was the charge that I got from somebody this week. Oh, you're just trying to be a self-made martyr. Yeah, that's it. That's why we like to have people spit on us and everything, right, Brother Paul? We like that. We're just self-made martyrs, that's all. By the way, this is coming from a preacher. I ought to know better. But doesn't. Those mean guys like that. No, they're preaching the truth. They're trying to tell you the truth. They're trying to warn you. You know what? You better thank God that there's still some men out there that want to go warn people. Because it's dying on the vine in this country. For a man to stand up and be bold is dying in this country. Yeah. Brother, we can't even get men to leave their own homes. Hard-heartedness. Jesus told the Jews that they would not believe because why? Because your hearts are hard. Want to know why when you preach and people won't believe? Because their hearts are hard. That's what Jesus said. But see, if you were just nicer to them, then they would believe. If you just soften the message, then they would believe. No, not if their heart is hard. Their heart is hard. That's the way it is. By the way, that's God saying this. That's not Pastor Cooley's theory. That's what God's saying. He says they heap unto the cell, the wrath on the day of wrath. Turn to Mark chapter 3, please. You know, I really believe that today God's people are willfully ignorant of the state of lost people, the state of the natural heart or the natural man. You can see it in evangelism. You can see it all over the place. This soft selling of salvation, the soft selling of Jesus Christ. It's just it's a complete ignorance of the nature of a man, a lost man. You know, when I was a lost man and I was out doping and running around and fornicating, you could have told me all day long that Jesus loves me. You could have sang the song to me. While I was getting high, I would have laughed at you. But I'll tell you what, when an old preacher stuck his bony finger out and looked me in the eye and said, the hottest spot in hell is reserved for you. Yeah. Now that woke me up. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? How we've changed over the years, how things have changed. Mark chapter 3, and he entered again to the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now you already know these folks got a hard heart. Look at them. They're looking for a way to, they're looking for an opportunity to accuse him of something. I've met a lot of people like that. See, they couldn't argue with Jesus' words and what he preached, but they looked for some way to accuse him of something. What is that? A hard heart? No, that's you saying that. Okay, well, let's see what Jesus says. Let's see if somebody looking. I'm not talking about doctrine now. We're not talking about reproving false doctrine. We're talking about looking for an excuse, a way to accuse someone. Let's see. And he saith unto the man which hath withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, now Jesus was not acting like Jesus there, and I understand that, okay? We have strayed so far from Scripture that when it's given to us, we don't even see it. You know what that is a sign of? A hard heart. That's what it is. Now, again, Pastor, that must be your opinion. Okay. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. I find it fascinating. There's a few things going on here. One, Jesus looks at them with absolute anger. Why? Because of the hardness of their hearts. See, he knew they were absolutely hardened. And that no matter what he did, do you get it? No matter what he did, they were going to kill him. People with a hard heart, no matter what you do, will always lay an accusation at you. I don't care how you say it. It won't make a difference. They're still going to find an accusation. Are you sure? Yeah, they did it to Jesus right here. I mean, for goodness sakes, folks, don't you understand? He was healing a man with a withered hand, and they were mad at him. They wanted to kill him. Yeah, all they that hate me love death. That's right. The natural hard heart grieves God Almighty. The natural man is opposed to the things of God. He fights them and resists the things of God. You wonder why you see some people that profess Christianity, but they are completely opposed to it? It's because they are hard-hearted. Marvel not, they are lost, wicked, hell-bound sinners. That's why they're doing that. And people that lift up their voice and preach the truth and expose that wickedness for what it is are going to be hated just like Christ. Because of the hardness of hearts. That's what it is. And now, by the way, a saved man can have a hard heart too, and I'm going to get to that. They can be hardened. God will deal with them. I'm not saying that automatically somebody that's hardened is lost, because that's not the case. There are saved people that have a hard heart. God will deal with them, though. you hear this statement from a lot of people, man is inherently good. You hear it from liberty-minded, liberty movement people like, you know, Alex Jones to neocons like Rush Limbaugh that most people take their theology from today. Most neocon fascist Baptists take their theology from Rush Limbaugh or, you know, some of the Liberty Party or whatever, take it from the Jesuit Alex Jones or anything like that. Some of them take, I said that, didn't I? Yeah, it just kind of comes out. But they take their theology from these people. They shape, because of political interests, they shape their understanding from that and not to the Spirit of God. And they're hard-hearted. And they're deceived. They're very deceived. Naturally, we are hardened to admitting that we're sinners. The natural man is brutish in his heart. He's hard and not wanting to be reproved. What did Jesus say, you stiff-necked and hard-hearted generation? Stiff-necked. Hard-hearted. That's the case of man. That's the state of the lost man. That's the state of the natural man. And that will be the state of a saved man if he walks in the flesh and not the Spirit of God. If he lives in rebellion, then he will harden his heart and God will deal with him. A sure sign that you are hard-hearted is when biblically you are reproved and you get mad and angry at it and fight it. You get mad at the preacher. Now, what is a hard-hearted? Try to find some way that I don't have to... See, my wicked carnal, remember, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So my carnal, wicked, hard heart wants to figure out a way that I can disobey that command and still seem like I'm right with God. What is that? That's human nature. I'm not being mean to anybody. That's human nature. That is the flesh. If you only understood the depths of wickedness that lies in your heart, and how you and I can be fooled completely. Do you realize that this type of sermon just doesn't, it indicts everyone that hears it? It's not just you, it's the preacher that goes through the same exact thing. Because I have to constantly, constantly take the Word of God out and examine my own heart with it. This probably won't be one of Pastor Cooley's top 100 sermons. But it might be one that somebody doesn't want to listen to. But I guarantee it's one that everybody needs to.
Amen.
But hard-hearted people won't listen to it. If they do, they might get right with God. And that's the goal. That's always the goal. You can tell you're hard-hearted if you get mad at your husband or your wife or something like that, they tell you the truth. Get angry about it. I want to get right about it. Now, there's an initial response, like, you know, for a little bit, when it sinks in. Yeah, and then you got to deal with it a few minutes later. It's like, okay, yeah. Let me analyze what they said. Is it right? Is it scriptural? Ouch. Right? But that's called attacking your pride. Pride. It turned a cherub into a devil. What do you think it does to you? Pride turned angels into devils. Did it not? What does it do to you? What does it do to me? Don't harden your heart as a natural man does. Some are lost and they hear this message. I pray you'd listen And if your heart has been hardened to the truth of your lost condition before God, I pray that God melts your heart today and you fall on your knees in repentance and be born again and have forgiveness of sins. And that weight that's been upon your soul will be lifted off of it and you'll be free. The Son of Man, if he shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The next phase of the hard heart is the acquired habitual hardness of heart. It's deeper. It goes deeper. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you see that? Even a lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you understand that sin will harden your heart? Habitual sin will harden your heart. Have you seen people before that have made it a profession of faith? You really believe they are saved and they live for God, but the hardness and deceitfulness of sin, and you see their heart turn cold and it turn hard to the truth, and when it's given to them, they fight it. They fight it. They fight it. Habitual sin. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, I can handle this. I can serve God and hold on to this sin. I can serve God and still do this. I can be a Christian and still do this. I can live this way and still do this. I can somehow find a way to condone my sin. What is that? The deceitfulness of sin has hardened your heart. And you are in trouble. Because deceit, you're deceived. Remember that? Remember the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now add sin to it. Now add a habitual sin to it. Many a man have been slain by her. I've seen people, I've seen it. I've seen people get hard to the truth. They're living wrong. They will not see the plain Bible teaching against their wickedness until they harden so much that they walk away. They walk away from everything that's godly. Or in their heart they walk away and they're nothing but a zombie when they come to the house of God and they have not been edified. They're not growing. Why? Because, you know what? And we're going to get to this. But I'll tell you another thing right now. I'll tell you another thing right now that happens when somebody does that. They'll make statements like, well, I just don't get fed. I'm just not getting fed. Maybe your heart's so hard you can't receive the meal you've been given. Do you ever think it might be you and not the one preaching? By the way, I haven't had too many people try to lie and say that about this ministry. Because it really would be rather a foolish statement. They don't really use that one too much. Not because we're better than anybody, but because we do believe the Bible and we do preach it. And we preach the hard things. The things that nobody wants to talk about. The thing of your heart. That deceitful and desperately wicked heart. But it says here, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh man, if you don't preach against sin, you'll be deceived by it. Too many pastors not preaching against sin. I want to tell you something, and it's the Lord, and glory to God. I am shocked at how much response has come from that Hollywood series. One that I didn't need to preach, that I was told by some nice Ruckmanites, you don't need to preach that stuff. You don't need to preach. I mean, you don't really want to preach on that, do you? I mean, come on. Why don't you just preach the Bible? Don't preach on the Bible. Has something to say about wickedness. But you don't want to preach on that. You know, I have never had so many people contact us about a certain sermon in my life as I've had those two. Glory to God. But why? Because it's dealing with sin. and people's hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, by habitual sin. And it is sin to place unclean things before your eyes. It is sin to revel in wickedness. It is sin to get our entertainment from wickedness. It is sin. It is downright dirty, disgusting, rotten, stinks in the nostrils of God. Sin! It's not just an opinion. Oh, you just think people, things like Disney are evil. No, I know they are. And I can prove it if you'll listen. But your heart might be too hard to receive that. And you won't listen. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. That's why. Habitual sin. Like we talked about a heart being fixed. Do you know why hearts aren't fixed today? They're too distracted. All you gotta do is click on a television or computer screen and you can watch whatever you want to and you can fade out the rest of the world and live outside of reality. Jesus was grieved at it. I like this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said this, "Brethren, I pray that none of us be hypocrites, for the Lord Jesus cannot endure such. He cares not for the whitewashed sepulchers, but proclaims woe unto all false professors. Here let me give you a parable. In our fine old churches and cathedrals, you see monuments raised to the dead. These are rich and costly marble and fine statuary, and here and there a touch of gold and a Latin inscription flattering the dead. What a goodly show. Yet what does it all mean? Why, that corpses are underneath. Take down those marble slabs, remove a little earth, and you come to corruption and moving loathsomeness. Graves are fitter for cemeteries and for the place which is consecrated to the living God. I do not mean by this any censure upon the tombs, which are well enough. I only use them as a parable. What shall I say of those men and women of whom they are the type and emblem? They are dead while they live, and have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. They present a fair outside, but secretly practice all manner of abominations. What have these to do in the church of God? What a horror to know that there are such in the assemblies of the saints. O my hearers, dread the hardness which would permit you to be hypocrites. Shun above all things that deadness of soul which makes a false profession possible. For this is very grievous to the Lord." Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Know you not, lest you be reprobates. Amen? A hard heart is insensible, impenetrable, inflexible. You can no more affect it than if you should strike your hand against a stone wall. Satan has fortified it and made its possessor to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of sin. The enmity of such a heart leads it to resist all that is good. Its hardness returns the efforts of love in the form of opposition. Our Savior saw before him persons who would oppose him, whatever he did, and would not change their minds, however they might be made to see their error. Didn't matter. You could show people their error. I've showed people all that. Well, most of these people that are critics won't. They don't really talk to me. They might talk to you. They don't talk to me. Not that I'm better than anybody. It's just that if you're going to have a critique, you should probably talk to the one you're critiquing. Let him sit down with the Bible and show you the truth. You think anyway. But you know what? They didn't do it with Jesus either. Now, did they? What'd they do with him? No matter how much he showed them their error, what did they do? They fought him. They hardened their heart. And I submit to you that even God's people can harden their hearts by the deceitfulness of sin. And that hardness continues. Spurgeon goes on, these comments are good. He goes on, by the way, he's commenting on this scripture right here that we're talking about. And I just found it to be very edifying when I read it. "Alas, this hardness of heart may be in us, though we have occasional meltings. I think that man has a very hard heart who at times deeply moved, but violently represses his emotions. He hurries home to his chamber greatly distressed, but in a short time he rallies and shakes off his fears. He goes to a funeral and trembles on the brink of the grave, but joins his merry companions and is and is at his sins again. He likes to hear a stirring sermon, but he is careful not to go beyond his depth while hearing it. He is on watch against his own welfare and is careful to keep out of the way of a blessing. By a desperate resolve, he holds out against the pressures of the grace of God as it comes to him in exhortations and entreaties. He is often rebuked. He hardens his neck. He is occasionally on the verge of yielding, but he recovers his evil firmness and holds on his way with a perseverance worthy of a better cause. How often have we hoped better things for some of you? How often have you blighted those hopes? You must be very hard in your heart to hold out so long. It shows a strong constitution when a man has frequently been near death and yet has recovered. And it shows an awful vitality of evil when you have been driven to the verge of repentance and then have deliberately turned back to the evil way, sinning against conscience and conviction. Whew. Ouch! Ouch! The Israelites had hard hearts, and Jesus told them concerning it. In Mark chapter 10, he dealt with them on divorce, and he said, you know, they were going in and they were consummating marriages and walking out saying that, well, this isn't the right woman for me. That's what he was talking about when he was dealing with divorce. He was talking about abusing what was given, abusing the law that was written. The law of divorce. They were abusing it. They weren't following the spirit of any commands. They were just doing, well, hey, I just want another woman, so see ya. That's what they were doing. Now, my brethren choose to use this verse as an opportunity to tell people that, you know, under no circumstances, that woman just stays with that man until he kills her. But they have degrees in counseling. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. I don't have one of those. But you know, we have to be careful because there is an abusive marriage today that goes on. There's people that want to get divorced for anything. And that's what God is preaching against here when he talks about those verses. That, you know, you don't use that as an excuse to do whatever you want to live or live your life. You know, any way you want to and do what you want to, and you don't do that for those reasons. There is a biblical law of divorce. Amen. There is. And that's real. But in this case, they were abusing it, and Jesus said, it's the hardness of your heart. You're abusing this precept that was written to you, and you're abusing it for the hardness of your heart. God said, I can kill you for it. They put that law there because of the hardness of hearts, he said, because you were just, I mean, I would have had to kill all of you then. Because these men were abusing it. He said, I would have to kill you all. So instead of me killing you all, we wrote you this precept. Do you get it? Do you get the mercy of God? Now today in New Testament churches, though that mercy of God is not extended to most people in most Baptist churches. That precept is ignored and they would rather kill you or see you dead. I'm just, hey, it's real, it's true, it may be uncomfortable, but it's the way it is. And by the way, if anybody thinks here well, you all know this, but if anybody that hears this thinks that Pastor Cooley is loose on marriage, you have no idea who you're talking about. None whatsoever. I just know I'm not allowed to go beyond the Bible. I'm not allowed to set up my own precepts and do what I want to do. Amen? And I know there are people with hard hearts. You know, the Bible talks about if men continue in sin, what will happen? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Hard. Cauterized. Nothing gets to it. Nothing gets in. Nothing good comes out. There's nothing there. Nothing No matter what preached to you, nothing fazes you. No matter what's said to you, nothing fazes you. We've met sinners like that on the streets, and nothing. And no matter what you say to them, it's not going to be. I mean, they're just vicious and evil and wicked. I dealt with a sodomite in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was like that. He mooned me. I said, I've never been mooned before. I mean, preaching like that, I never had that happen. I was like shocked. Pervert. I told him so too. I told him he was a disgusting pervert. Some of you might not like that, but I did. I told him you're a disgusting pervert, which you are. sick. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, you should have. You weren't there. And I was, so that's what was said. That's all. And you know what? Nothing fazed him. He was still mocking God. We were trying to preach. He was still mocking the whole thing and talking dirty and wicked and vile. I'm reprobate, you know. We tried to ignore him, obviously. You tried to do your best to ignore people like that. Just let him go because he won't listen to the truth. That's what he did. Hardness. Conscience is God's deputy in the soul. And when that is seared or left hard with no feeling, that person's in trouble. The day that you're not moved by your sin and it doesn't bother you, you're in trouble, friend. You're in a lot of trouble. As a child of God, that Spirit of God bears witness. If you go so long, God will deal with you. The deceitful heart can easily turn to the hard heart. And Romans 2:5 says that we treasure up wrath and we walk in sin. This is beyond just a natural hardness. It is a habitual sin. After warning and warning comes, then you don't heed the warning. Jesus, what he cautions them against is hardening their hearts, turning the deaf ear to the calls and counsels of Christ. When he tells you of the evil of sin, the excellency of holiness, the necessity of receiving him by faith as your Savior, do not shut your ear and heart against such a voice as this. Observe, the hardening of our hearts is the spring of all other sins. When you are so hard that truth cannot get to you, it does not have an effect on you, you are in trouble. He said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Exodus 17. For 40 years they were in the wilderness. Turn there, please, and I'm going to try to hurry. Because I really have more to do, but Brother Paul's going to get hungry. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Right, Brother Paul? We need spiritually fed first, don't we? Amen. Brother Paul was in Army Ranger School. He can starve himself if he has to. And he can eat a bug in front of Lee and make him sick. And do it with a straight face, like he's eating a lemon. He can do it with a straight face. Just watch him do it. I was impressed. I was like, that's why I go to the street with that man right there. It's the whole reason why right there. Exodus chapter 17. Wherefore the people, verse number 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Bunch of bellyaching Baptists, right? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Yeah, they're ready to kill the preacher. Oh, kill him. Trouble's coming. Kill the preacher. Yeah, that makes sense. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, God, if you're really God, then why is all this happening to me? Their hearts were hardened and they wandered for 40 years because of their hardness of heart. I wonder how long you'll wander if your heart hardens. I wonder how long folks out there that hear this, how long will their heart be hardened and how long will they wander because of the deceitfulness of sin? Lastly, though, there is a judicial hardness that comes from God. And I believe this, that God says, okay, it's done. Turn to Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 17. Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 17. O Lord, Why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. What does that mean that God just simply gives them over to their own heart, to their own hardness? He lets them have it. He says, okay, fine, you want hardness? Here, you can have it. How about Pharaoh? He did the same thing to Pharaoh. You want hardness? Okay, you got it. Hard as stone, buddy. That's what you want. The people of Israel had habitually sinned against the Lord their God. Repeatedly he showed them his love and his power, and they sinned against him and would not obey him. And they hardened their hearts. So God, through his righteous judgments, he hardened their own hearts. Fine. God gave them over to their own hardening. It would be wise for you and I to consider the judgments of God. Continued habitual sin in the believer's life does not go unpunished. Eventually, if you continue that way, you may be given over your own hardness, and whatever your flesh reaps, or whatever your flesh sows, you'll reap the corruption of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 21, the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. God will harden somebody's heart for his glory. Amen. See, no, that can't be true. Yes, it is. It's right there. He just said he did it, didn't he? You know, sometimes we try to fit God in our neat little theology package. Oh, no, God doesn't do that. He does this, this, and this, but not that. Why? Because you've been taught that God doesn't do it? Well, God just said he did it. He said, I hardened his heart. He's not going to go because I've hardened his heart. See, are you a Calvinist? No, I'm just telling you that God said he hardened his heart. What, do you want to argue with him? Amen. I believe the plain English. That's what it says. God hardened his heart. Okay, he hardened his heart. God doesn't have to answer to me for what he does. Do you understand that? He doesn't have to answer to your system either for what he does. God can do what he wants to do. What his will is to do, he will do. Whether you and I like it or not. God knew the heart of Pharaoh, and he knew what Pharaoh intended to enslave the Jews. He knew. God has foreknowledge. We don't. God would get honor from Pharaoh. And he did. Because it cannot be said that the Jews freed themselves from Egypt. God freed them from Egypt. It cannot be said that the Christian saves himself from his sins. God saves him from his sins. You know, I was reading this and a sermon on this, and I think it's some great advice that Charles Spurgeon gave on this topic. How do I keep from having a hard heart? Well, number one, his advice is renounce every habit of being cavil, petty objections, grammar, delivery when you hear a message. I thought that was interesting from the Prince of Preachers that he would say that. He said, you know, denounce all this pettiness that you have when you hear a sermon. Oh, he didn't say it right. Oh, I don't like the way that he said this. I don't like the way that that is. This is my objection to this. I have petty objections. He says, just renounce that. Don't allow yourself. Because why? Because the devil is using it so you ignore the message. And you don't have to listen to it then. See, I'm free now because you didn't say something right, so I don't have to listen to you. What is that? A hard heart. And it leads to hard-heartedness. Number two, feel an intense desire to submit to God. You better have a desire to submit to him. Whatever his word says, you're going to follow. Number three, be careful to keep away all hardening influences. He says here about that, he says, books or men or habits or pleasures. If there be any company which deadens us as to spiritual things, which hinders our prayers, shakes our faith, or damps our zeal, let us get out of it and keep out of it. If any amusement lessens our hatred of sin, let us never go near it. Oh, I wonder if that would be like movies and Hollywood and entertainment and all those things. I wonder if that would lessen your zeal for God. I wonder if that would lessen our hatred of sin. Well, I can testify to you that it did lessen my hatred of sin, because I always found, I would try to find a way to compromise just to watch something. Right? Wouldn't you do, don't you do that? I mean, find a way to, there's got to be some loophole around this if I can get around this. The Dove rating, yeah, it rates it good. It's got a good family rating. Well, what they consider a family is very scary, so better stay with that. That's right. We grow hard soon enough. He says here that let us never go near it. If any book clouds our views of Jesus, let us never read it. We grow hard soon enough through the needful contact with the world which arises out of the workday life and business pursuits. It's hard enough just being out there, eh? Brother Paul going to work and listening to people talk filthy. Brother Lee being around people that you know are not living right and doing right all the time. Brother Roy. We know, don't we? Let us not, it says here, contact with the world which arises out of workday. Let us not increase these evils. So then we go home and we watch it on television? Really? So we're in one mouth we give a devotion to our children about this, and then we go home and we watch it. Right, it's wicked. It just compromises all this. That's extreme. That must be that deeper life. It's the only one you can have that pleases God, is a deep one. Christ is very deep. Amen? The depths of the knowledge of God, very deep. Amen? The depths of the wisdom of God, very deep. Let us not increase these evils. Shun the idler's talk, the scorner's seat, and the way of the ungodly. Shun false doctrine, worldliness, and strife. Keep clear of frivolity and trifling. Be in earnest and be pure. Live near to God and remove far off from the throne of iniquity. Wow. Good advice. All of that can harden your heart. How many of us can say that watching movies and everything else didn't have a hardening effect on our heart towards sin? I mean, you justify things. You watch things that you would never let your children do. You watch things that you would never let your children wear. The clothing. You would never let them wear those clothes. You would never let them do those things. You would never let them play with witchcraft, but you allow them to watch it on television. Oh, but that's just fake. No, it isn't. It's real. It's real. Amen. It's real. So if I'm going to do that, then what am I doing? I'm sending a mixed. What am I? I'm hardening my heart. And you're hardening your children's heart. Because they're watching this and they're thinking it's okay. And then when they grow up, curse God and die! You wonder, what happened? I know I scared somebody there, sorry. But when you do that, I'm just making sure you're awake. Now you're awake. Alright? But when they curse God and die and they're not living for the Lord anymore, they're 20-some years old and they have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, I just woke the kid up. Nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, let me ask you. You don't think it was because of the hardness of their heart and what you showed them and how you seared their conscience with sin and everything? Do you understand that at a young age, out there as a teenage boy, I saw things that I never should have saw as a young boy that my dad didn't even know I seen? And what did it do? It hardened me. It took till I was 25 years old to get saved. And I had the truth from a boy. Why? Because I saw all manner of wickedness and it hardened my heart. And your heart will be hardened the same way. And your children's hearts. And you have already been hardened in some degree to some things that you've had that once you repent of it, and once you get it out of your life and you cast it down as sin and you call it sin, then guess what happens? Then your heart begins to melt. Begins to soften. And you begin to learn something from God. And He begins to reveal some things to you. And you draw closer to Him. Lastly, use all softening influences. Ask to have your heart daily rendered sensitive by the indwelling of the quickening Spirit. Go often to hear the word. It is like a fire and like a hammer breaking the rock in pieces. Dwell at the foot of the cross. It is there that tenderness is born into human hearts. Jesus makes all hearts soft and then stamps his image on them. Entreat the Holy Ghost to give you a very vivid sense of sin and a very intense dread of it. Pray often according to the tenor of Charles Wesley's hymn, and he goes on. I don't have that, but it was a good hymn, actually, but I didn't get it. I didn't put it down here. I don't have time to go through the rest of this. There's about 23 points of effects of a hard heart. It's really actually pretty good. But I really don't. I think we better stop right now because we've been going for a while, and I think you'll lose your attention span. Maybe I'll add it to something else, or maybe pick it up or whatever later. But he goes on to give some examples. Another man does, another preacher that I read this from a long time ago, and I don't even agree with this preacher on a lot of things. He's back 150, 200 years, and I disagree with him on a great number of things, but I think he nailed it with this as far as watching the heart of a man and seeing exactly the effects of a hard heart and what it does. Now, maybe we'll pick it up. Maybe we'll pick it up here in the afternoon. Maybe I'll just cover that a little bit. But maybe not. Maybe I'll just email it to you. Anyway, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts would be soft and tender. Oh, Lord, sin has hardened many hearts. Lord, help it not to harden ours. Lord, things we've put in front of our eyes, sins that we've committed and practiced, it's caused hardness of heart, and we're not even sensitive anymore sometimes to our own sin and wickedness. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive, make us sensitive to our sin. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray you bless this time we have together as a church family and bless the food that we're about to receive. And thank you so much for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.